Okay. So today, this evening, is the question, is propaganda different from marketing? Well, I have to start with a bit of a confession. I have an interest in this, because for 5 years, I joined the dark side, as it were, of the force. Yes, I actually joined the world of marketing. I was a copywriter in a tour company, like a holiday company. So kind of it was my job to, write about holidays to make them sound good, so people out there with far too much money would buy them. And I quite enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. It was quite good fun. Ethically, I have to say it was all very dubious. I had to sell one thing I had to do was sell Santa Claus flights, where people would get in an aeroplane with their little kids. They'd take off, they'd fly around for a bit, they'd meet Santa on board, they'd get a present, and then they'd land again at the same airport without actually ever going anywhere. And there were similar things called Northern Lights flights, where you flew all the way up to the Arctic Circle, hoping to see the aurora, and then you flew back again and landed at the same airport. And I just couldn't help thinking, what a total bloody waste of time and fuel. Absolutely outrageous when you don't even go anywhere. I did once suggest to the business owner that, well, maybe we could go all ethical and, market sort of eco holidays where I think they do exist, where the carbon footprint's been calculated and minimized where possible. But he wasn't interested. He said the customers wouldn't buy that. They weren't Guardian readers. They were Daily Mail readers. Where he said that because he was. The trip I felt most guilty about doing copy for was the day trip to Venice. I couldn't believe my eyes. A day trip by air and then back home again in time for Horlicks. And they only actually got 4 hours in the city and they spent all the rest of the day traveling. I just thought this is the stupidest thing. But people actually bought these stupid trips. And I was helping them buy our company's stupid trips instead of some other company's stupid trips. So how bad did I feel? Quite bad sometimes. But then, of course, I justified it to myself the same way every worker justifies stuff like that to themselves. If I didn't do it, somebody else would. But anyway, ethical questions aside, I did pick up a few interesting tips about marketing. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert or anything like that, but I did get a few ideas of do's and don'ts, or at least that aspect of marketing that involves communication. I even read some stuff about it. I just got quite interested in it. And the reason I was interested in it was because I'd spent years as a party member trying to get workers to take notice of our ideas, and I'd written leaflets and stuff like a lot of us have, with not very much success. Well, I thought, what did the professionals have to say about this? That is the capitalist professionals. Well, the first thing I learned was, now you might be surprised to learn this as a marketing rule, is don't lie. If you tell a lie, the company will get sued. If you misrepresent the truth, even accidentally through careless ambiguity, the company will get sued. Never promise anything you can't deliver because the company will get sued. Never state any historical or tourist fact without a good source because some smart aleck customer is certainly going to challenge it. All right, you won't get sued. But still, basically, stick to the facts and make everything above board. The second thing I learned was don't use tired old formulas and cliches. Now, this is something I noticed straight away about holiday and hotel copy. I don't know if you've ever read a brochure, and I don't mean just looked at the pictures. I mean actually read the words on a holiday brochure. Generally, the copy is pretty low quality. It's full of this sort of formulaic crap. It's soggy with superlatives like wonderful, marvelous, fabulous, gorgeous. And my own personal favorite was the word stunning. It came up everywhere, sometimes more than once in the same sentence. Now, these words bang you over the head like lead pipes. But all that happens in the end is you develop a thick skull and they cease to mean anything at all and just become boring. And people, of course, skim read boring prose. In fact, I suspect most people who read holiday brochures actually don't read the text precisely because of that. And if that's what the prose has become, this boring place and space filler, well, there's not really much point the text being there at all. And if it's recycled from old copy, which is another industry standard, or it's plagiarized from somewhere else or some other company, which is another industry standard, well, if it's on your website is going to get punished for it in the Google rankings. That's how Google works. If they find that you've plagiarized stuff from somewhere else, they de-rank you. But, of course, on the other hand, prose or text, it can be too fancy as well. If it's convoluted, it'll lose the reader. The rule of thumb was to have one sentence for one idea. Not one sentence for three different ideas, just one sentence for one idea. Then put the ideas in a logical sequence, A, B, C, with no digressions or recursive loops, so that the argument develops in a linear direction that the reader can follow without getting lost or distracted. At the end of all this, the point of it is that there should be a call to action, something for the reader to do next, so that now that you've finished this paragraph, here's what you should do. Anyway, so that was the general idea. I'm not going to say this is all scientific and that you can prove all this in a pocket calculator, but it was reasonably systematic and it did seem to work if you stuck to it. The main principle is that what and how you're communicating depends on what it is you want the reader to do. And in that, there's definitely a right way and a wrong way to go about it. Okay. All right. So all of this is marketing, but you can see probably that all these things have their parallels in what we do. But when you look at the way we communicate in a party, we never really look at the mechanics of the process. We don't ask objectively if there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, or try to find out what those ways might be. Actually, there's a bit of a hands-off policy. Instead, everyone does their own thing in their own sweet way. There's a kind of members regard it as a sort of inalienable right. I've heard it expressed in the Maoist principle by a prominent member, let a thousand flowers bloom. In other words, there is no wrong way. There's just lots and lots of ways. Now, lately it was pointed out that on a Discord chat that communication on our email forums can quite often become acrimonious, whereas this is very unusual on Discord, simply because it's a different kind of communicating medium. And surely this says something to us, or it ought to tell us something quite important about right and wrong modes of communication. I'm rapidly coming to the conclusion that email is a disastrous way to communicate, especially among party members. But members quite often don't care about that. They think that the message is what counts, not how it's delivered. They think that the words that they say are the important thing, not the tone of voice they say them in. And yet we often find, don't we, that the tone of voice turns people off so that they don't ever listen to the words we say. Now, the thing about marketing is, for socialists, is that, well, you know, we all hate capitalism and all its works, and so we tend to despise marketing because we see marketing as dishonest, manipulative hype. Whereas what we do is quite the opposite. It's just the unvarnished truth, and as we know, the socialist case makes itself. The truth will always win out. In other words, propaganda and marketing are two completely different things. Well, this is what I would question. In fact, I would dispute it. I would say they're the same thing in a sense. They're communication for the purpose of persuasion in order to get people to do something. Now, obviously, we know marketing can sometimes be dishonest and manipulative. But then you can also say that about some propaganda. I mean, looking at some of the things in left-wing magazines, you've got to say they quite often come out with things that are dishonest and manipulative. We don't. I'm not saying we do this, but I'm saying that propaganda can be that. So at base, marketing and propaganda can be either good or it can be bad. It can be well done or badly done. At base, there are common sense rules about good communication, which apply to marketing and they also apply to propaganda. And they're rules that we might benefit from looking at. Because, you know, let's be honest, our socialist case just isn't winning the battle of ideas at the moment on its own. So here's my question to you. Is it time we looked objectively at how we communicate and think about the process of communication as a socialist subject in its own right? Okay. Anybody like to offer a comment?
Yes, please.
Okay, Brian, yes, yeah, go on. Go on. Yes, on you go.
Yeah, if only.
I'm not chairing this, so people just chair yourselves.
Yeah, what you just said, you know, was pretty good advice. I got to be honest. But how do we apply it, you know, to the socialist case? That's a thing. And have we got any examples out there where it has been applied? Even if some of them examples are offset from the main source's message. For example, what comes to mind is the ragged trousered philanthropist. I mean, that puts over a very good position for the working class condition, but not so very well for the source's message, which is, you know, changing the system for the better. Another one that comes to mind is Orwell, especially on the essay Road to Wigan Pier. Very good examples within that essay, that particular essay, right, on hierarchy and how the condition of hierarchy gets embedded within social relationships. To exemplify that, the other good example he provides, that Orwell provides, is the essays he wrote on when he was a colonial officer out in Burma and in India. What comes to mind is the essay on killing the elephant. Part of his job as a colonial officer was policing a district. He was a district officer. And every now and again, the villagers would be onto him about killing the elephants who were ruining their crops. And he reflects that he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. Because if he didn't do it, the villagers would be up in arms and the whole colonial system would be brought into question. I don't know if I'm going on too long. Go on, Paddy, interrupt. What was you going to say?
No, you carry on, bro.
Okay. For me, the best writer that I know that comes to mind in regards to putting over the socialist case as propaganda, right, and using the tools that you mentioned is the essays given by Heather Ball. Short, sharp, target segmentation, focus on the particular and specific message, and always about the condition of the working class. Now, some writers can do this. I'm bloody useless at it. Right? But they just don't let themselves develop, that I find, in that regards. I have found yourself, Paddy, there has been occasions when you've turned around and looked at the condition of the working class specifically from an individual perspective, but mostly, you know, for example, you concentrate, like a lot of other writers, on the generalizations of the condition of the working class. I remember at one time you was talking about the price that the working class have got to pay in order to maintain themselves as reproductive units. That was a long, long time ago, quite a few years ago now, right? But I can't recollect anything on similar lines since then, right? But that's all I've got to say so far on the subject. I hope that stirs up the case.
Brian, excuse me. Brian, can you just repeat the name of that last, apart from Paddy, the one before that you mentioned who writes very, very...
Heather Ball.
Okay, thank you.
There is a pamphlet that was printed by or published by two members on the behalf of the party of all their essays. It's no longer available. It's all sold out now at that office, right? But you can get it by going on the index on the website.
I think what you say is interesting, Brian, but I can't help feeling it sort of derails the discussion a bit onto content, because what you're really talking about is the type of things, the type of ideas, the type of content that famous writers, I mean, you mentioned Tressel, George Orwell, Heather Ball. I mean, the thing is, I'm not talking about how to turn us all into George Orwells, because you can't really do that. You know, that's a very personal thing that some writers can do that. What I'm suggesting isn't the content, the message itself, but the mode of delivery that and looking at certain rules. Well, I don't know if rules is the right word, but certain things about the way that it's delivered, how sequential the argument is, whether it digresses, whether the reader is able to follow it in an ABC way without getting lost, what the tone is like, how inclusive the argument feels rather than looks, or how exclusive it feels. Is the writer explaining something to you, or is the writer mansplaining something to you? Is the writer conveying something useful, or do you feel condescended to? Do you feel patronized? Do you feel that the writer is communicating with you, or is the writer shouting at you? These are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. It's not to do with the writer, the supreme talent of someone like George Orwell. Do you see what I'm saying there, Brian? That's what I was trying to get at anyway in this sort of approach. Although I actually probably didn't explain it very well, but...
Yeah, I understand that, Paddy. I mean, what you just said down that last bit there was typical of what I've said of speaking or talking with the working class and not talking at the working class.
So if we can sort of, just to reiterate the central kind of theme of this, is there a way in which propaganda, which I'm not even very keen on that word propaganda, but the way that we put our case, does it have things in common with marketing, I've had this discussion before, and members have insisted that they are not the same thing. Propaganda is not at all the same thing as marketing. And yet I've always had this sort of suspicion that actually they've got some things quite strong in common. But what do other members think about that?
I think they're the same thing. It's the subject or the object that's different. It's the thing that you want to get over. Propaganda is selling ideas, and marketing is selling usually objects or things, concrete things. And I cannot see why we cannot. Basically, I've suggested things before about getting professionals to help us. I see nothing wrong with trying to get someone to help us market ourselves and market propaganda, get ourselves across. They have expertise in presentation. You know, we are probably there are some experts in our party in their own field. I don't think we have any, for the want of another word, marketing experts. And I don't see anything wrong with employing, if you like, someone to help us with getting our ideas across. After all, you know, most members of this party voted to invest money, you know, voted to invest some of our money. Now, we are using the capitalist system to our advantage. So I don't see that there's anything wrong with using the capitalist system in marketing field to our advantage. Anyone object?
Totally agree, Carla.
Could I say something on that, Carla? We need to split what we're trying to do into two or three different ways. One is we have to try and get attention in the working class, you know, people out there. And for that, we need short, accurate summaries of what we think of. We need to have sound bites like that. The other thing is, once you get their attention, you need to have it coherent so they'll be able to understand it. Now, these days, we've only got printed stuff, which is okay for an older generation. But the modern generation, they don't read anymore. So it's no good having, you know, sort of long books. You need to have really coherent information to give them once we get their attention. So we need to do both. I mean, these days, you have to go viral and staying in the past and having books and things like that. It's not going to work too much. Brian mentioned Helen Ball. Well, that pamphlet was our bestseller in the last 10 years. And I've been trying to get it reprinted and sent out because that gives you a very good idea of what we're about without it seeming like it's a school lesson or a college lesson. But get their attention, we have to concentrate on a punchy advert rather than something that means something to us. One of the best adverts we had was something that Dave Perrin about 20 years ago, which was to find out about, what was it, 99% of politics is crap, find out about the 1% that isn't. Now, he wrote that. I asked him to do that when I was advertising on the advertising committee. He wrote 10 possible adverts. That one stood out. And it resulted in quite a lot of adverts that applied to it. But I don't want to say any too much more. My voice is dying.
Well, with due respect to Heather Ball, it may have been one of our bestsellers, but it certainly wasn't a worldwide bestseller, was it? So all I'm saying is that I think we need some help getting our stuff across, you know, communicating our stuff across, not just with a few sympathisers or just ourselves.
I remember some years ago, I don't know if it was a documentary or what it was, it was on TV, the exercise was to get marketing companies, advertising agencies, to sell homosexuality. This was, as I say, this was quite a few years ago. So I think nowadays, I think it would probably be, they'd be like, yeah, whatever. But at the time, this was considered quite a hard sell. And several of the advertising agencies actually just walked away. They said, no, we're not doing that. But one did take up the challenge. And I wish I could remember what the ideas they came up with. But I remember at the time thinking, that's absolutely brilliant. That is so clever. The way that they sort of spun it, if you like, they came up with things that, well, you know, I would never have thought of, I don't think. It stuck in my mind as this is the sort of thing that professionals do for a living, that would just what aspects of the party case would they pick up on and say, this is what you should push, this is how you should spin it, you know, sort of pitch this, you know, in ways that would perhaps never, ever occur to us. So I agree with Carla, you know, I think it would be interesting. But having said that also, I think that, you know, from my sort of, you know, quite limited experience of doing it, a lot of it is quite common sense, though. I mean, you know, some of the things that I've explained earlier, you know, the basic kind of rules of, you know, setting out an argument and making it sequential and not digressing, you know, these are fairly common sense, but we don't discuss this as a subject in the party. You know, we just let everybody just do their own thing. And if, you know, you see a leaflet or something that someone else has produced and you think, oh God, that's not very well done. You know, we tend to think it's quite bad form to say that in the party, because after all, you know, somebody else put their time and effort into it and they're volunteers as well. And it's not really our place to say. And because we don't feel that it's our place to say, none of these things ever get said in the party, which is why I'm asking, you know, should this actually be a subject in its own right that is okay to talk about?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I sort of spoke during a gap before, but I don't think I could be heard. Yeah, so if I could chip in, like Paddy, I worked in marketing. It was my first job. When I was still a teenager, and that was for an insurance company, I really liked it and learned a lot, even though I've sort of left to sort of make things up as I went along. I think it's sort of I enjoyed the job, and I learned a lot from it, and I've still tried to carry that on in some of the promotional material for summer school. You know, there's always a sort of a visual there, and I think that's important. And so what little I've learned from just you know, sort of finding my own way. Again, I've wondered what an advertising agency would do if we approach them, which I think is a good idea. I think, yeah, propaganda is just a slightly different word for marketing. And, you know, we're out there to, you know, promote our ideas. And I think if we did call an advertising agency in, they'd maybe suggest more standardization, in the, you know, using the same font in leaflets, you know, repeating slogans, you know, certain sort of design template standards. I think they'd sort of want us to standardize things a bit more, and again, focus on sort of you know, sort of striking visual images, like others have said, you know, slogans or catchphrases, and you know, the tone of what we do as well. You know, wit is always very important, isn't it? You know, that sort of makes things come alive. But yeah, I'd be in favor of input from professionals. Not necessarily that we would go ahead with everything that they said, but of course, you know, they would know the territory better than I would. But yeah, I think it's something that we should sort of take steps towards. Thank you.
Can I just say a word about the word propaganda? Paddy, you've already expressed a certain unease with the word. I've always been uneasy about it in the party context. You know, we've always had this propaganda committee. And if you use the word with outsiders, they have a different view of it, because in sort of normal everyday understanding, propaganda is something that's sort of mendacious, is something that is biased, if you like, in one direction or another. So if you say this is our propaganda, that in itself doesn't give a very positive view to people. So I think the first thing we need to do is to actually get rid of the word. You know, we don't have to have a propaganda committee. We can have, I don't know, something else, maybe not marketing. Don't like that very much. Probably a lot of party members wouldn't. We use the word publicity for something a bit different, but I think publicity could cover it perfectly well. And once we've sort of abolished the word propaganda, I think we can see our efforts to sort of get through to people in a slightly different light, and more sort of in line with what other people would call marketing, even if we don't actually call it that, because I don't think that would be a sort of good reflection on us. But we could do the same thing while not using the same word.
Howard.
How about communication, Howard?
No, too long.
What about communication as a word, as a topic, as the word instead? Because I agree with you about the negative connotations. So communications rather than marketing.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, yeah.
You'll be interested. I was just going to say that I just looked up the derivation of the word propaganda, and it dates from 1718, and it means a committee of cardinals in charge of Catholic missionary work. There you go.
Yes, before we get down that bypass, we stopped using the word propaganda and propaganda committee over 30 years ago. We became a publicity committee, and currently called advertising, and it's been subsumed with the inquiries. They were different. But we stopped using that word a very long time ago, Howard.
Well, we haven't really. I mean, it is still used. And I used it in this title for this FAQ because I think it is still pretty current. And, you know, it gets used quite a lot. You're right, though, Mike. I mean, we did stop using it. And I think for reasons of unease by some members, me and Howard included, we weren't keen on it. But it is still in fairly common parlance, also on the left, generally.
Yes, that's one of the reasons why we don't use it. We try to not be associated with the left. Most of their stuff is, lies. It's not quite a lot of untruth, as you pointed out. We're trying to be an accurate summary of what we mean, socialist ideas, rather than try and market ourselves to people to join for a few months and then disappear, like the SWP people and things like that. There's a lot of those little groups. They come in for a while and they get tired of the heavy lifestyle and they grow up, basically. Most of those groups, people off the idea of socialism because they're so unreal and a bit dictatorial.
Yeah.
But these days, how are we going to attract young people who are just look at their little gadgets? I mean, Paddy told us on one of the events a week or two ago that he really got video, you know, a short video about the universe. And he showed it to his son. And so I said, it's too long. Here's the people we're trying to attention, we're trying to attract. You probably noticed the way the election over here and in the US a few years ago was run by slogans, even though they're lies. They got people's attention. We need to study those because we won't get any attention. I mean, we got an image of a Victorian, Edwardian, 1940s, 1950s party. But, you know, we got ideas that would be okay for this century and next century.
But, I mean, what about how party members communicate? I mean, I mentioned earlier, you know, that the, you know, we have this email forum, and tempers can get quite frayed on there because, well, you know, we know, don't we, that the, you know, you don't have the kind of physical, audio, oral cues that you do in a real conversation, so you can't tell if people are joking, and so people get, you know, take things amiss, and it can go downhill quite quickly. But also, you know, I'm sure you've known, I certainly have known in the past, party members who were really quite angry individuals, just generally, you know, because capitalism made them angry, but they just sort of used the party as a kind of mouthpiece to vent. And, I remember one particular individual who used to fire off these sort of diatribes to his local newspaper. They were just kind of hate-filled rants, really, to be honest. And he used to collect them all and then send them to the EC to say, here, look what I'm doing. Like, look how all the useful, you know, party activity I'm involved in. And, I remember reading them sort of cringing. And thinking, oh my God, what on earth do people think of us if this is what they're reading? And but nobody would ever dare say to the guy, well, look, actually, do you think it might be useful if you would just moderate your tone and be more, you know, balanced in your expression and things like that. Nobody would ever dare say that because we've got this thing in the party, haven't we, that everyone's got a right to express themselves in their own way and no one else has a right to criticise. That's what I feel about, you know, we're kind of silenced on this subject. We're not allowed to say, you know, it's all very well saying, oh, well, we could hire an outside company. But what about when we ourselves, you know, feel that there's issues with how things are done? This is what I'm interested in.
Come in, Paddy, on the email communication. Because I think, and I've always thought this about emails, with emails, you have plenty of time to think of really clever things to say. And, you know, you do a bit of research or you can fill this email with lots of clever things. And they kind of come over as not immediate. They're not immediate. They're not natural. It's not a natural conversation. And like you said, when we're on Discord, we hear the tone of someone's voice. We hear the tempo, obviously the content of what they're saying, but it's just so different. And it's natural. And someone can come in straight away and not having forgotten what you said. And they can come in straight away and challenge you or agree or whatever. So I think that obviously email, I think, is one of the worst ways. I agree with you, is one of the worst ways of communications. My point about the marketing wasn't that we would have to permanently employ someone, but it would just be to get some ideas of how to go about things. As I said, I think we could learn a lot, and then perhaps, you know, not have to rely on someone to do our publicity on a permanent basis.
You know, if we had somebody in the party with marketing skills, we wouldn't have any hesitation in asking them, or if they offered, agreeing to use their skills. You know, I don't have any problem with what you're saying, Carla. Nothing at all. I mean, we have a lot to learn from professionals in getting messages across.
I wonder if you're actually entirely right there, Alan. If we have people in the party who've got marketing experience, well, we have got people in the party with marketing experience. I've got some marketing experience. Mike Foster's got some marketing experience. There are other people too. But I had a conversation not all that long ago about, well, I won't go into details, but it was basically about a particular presentation of the party that was of the case that was quite convoluted, and it had lots and lots of side channels. You know, you could sort of disappear down sort of you know, diversions, and it didn't thread the argument through in a sequential way. And I tried to suggest to the person who'd done it that it was it wasn't a standard ask or anything like that. But I tried to suggest that it was it was basically getting in its own way. It was tying itself up in knots. It wasn't going to be a useful sort of tool for us. And I sort of tried to explain, well, look, you know, ABCs of, you know, basic kind of communication in marketing terms. And the response was, well, that's just your opinion. I like it. And, you know, there wasn't anything I could say because we don't have this discussion in the party. You know, there isn't a sort of body of work. There isn't a body of study in this in the party. It's just, well, that's just your opinion. I happen to think it's fine. And anyway, we don't do marketing. See what I mean? So this is what I'm getting at is we haven't even established the terms of discussion about this in the party. And I think that's what makes it difficult. If you see something and you think, well, I think that could be improved, you're not even really allowed to say, it seems.
Well, ADM's coming up, isn't it? You know, it could be part of the agenda on ADM. You know, it could be crowbarred in somewhere.
Well, funnily enough, our branch actually thought about putting an item on about precisely the question of hiring an advertising agency for the reasons that Carla's sort of explained. Coincidentally, nothing to do with this FAQ, but just, yeah, coincidentally.
We've also got the meeting on Monday, haven't we, about YouTube and video presentation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's going to... Yeah, if anybody doesn't know about that, I think Steve put out a general alert. But yeah, some of us are going to try and take that forward and see what we can do. Because we recognise, don't we, that we do not have any kind of YouTube profile, really.
I mean, part of the problem is in the decision-making within the EC. When Janet and I were members of the publications committee, we tried for about 18 months to get Heather Ball's book republished. I mean, it was just shuffled to the end of the agenda time after time. It still sits there as far as I know.
All I can say, Alan, is you come on the EC and you see how much it's got to deal with, and you'll probably soon realise why things get shunted to the end. It's just half the time it's firefighting.
I don't doubt. I mean, we're all people with a life to live and jobs to do, and all the other things to do with everything from EC meetings to publications, come to anything else are. Have to be fitted in, and you know, I accept it's difficult. It's extremely difficult. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. Please don't think that. You know, we have a challenge in that area.
Just to mitigate something you said, Paddy, by putting it in context, you said you were making a distinction between the kind of tone, language, and so on that we adopt when talking to one another like this, sort of face-to-face, and when we use social media like email and so on, when people tend to be a lot more thoughtless and unable to sort of necessarily work out where the other person is coming from. Well, actually, before the days of email, when everything was face-to-face, the party was a lot worse than it is now. When I was first in the party, people didn't scruple to be pretty nasty to one another, you know, on a personal level, in meetings and so on. It was more or less accepted that that's what you did. You spoke your mind and you know, you said what you wanted to say, regardless of the effect it might have on the other party member. So there was no question then. I think things have improved a bit because we couldn't have had a meeting like this then, because the idea that we might somehow tone things down or think about the effect we were having, not on on party members, let alone on the working class, was something that simply wouldn't have been on the agenda. I think you remember some of that, Paddy, as well.
Well, I certainly do. I certainly do. I remember being involved in some of it as well, to my shame. Yeah. Different times. I think some of those people came back now, they'd just say we'd all gone soft.
Yeah, well, I've
sorry, Mark, go ahead.
I've already spoken. No, you go ahead.
Okay, well, two things. I mean, yes, Howard, I remember that period very well. I had to sit at the EC table as General Secretary week after week watching party members ripping each other's heads off, and it was not pleasant. It wasn't good for morale, I think, for the party in general. The second thing is, I just wanted to inject a very, very small note of scepticism into what we're talking about tonight. I mean, like Carla, Paddy, Mike Foster, I don't see anything wrong in principle with the idea of employing the services of a marketing organisation from whom we can learn. A slight misgiving I have is that I'm not sure whether anybody really has much of a handle on how people's political opinions are formed and how you get to change them. I mean, for sure, you know, you've got marketing organisations who know how to sell chocolate to people, get them to buy it. I just wonder how far we'd have to look before we felt confident that we'd found an organisation that knew how to get people to buy socialism. That's it.
If I could just come back in quickly. Mike Brennan was suggesting that we look at the way that they've won elections in the States and in this country. Well, in actual fact, what he says is right. They've got it down to four words or three words. Get it done, in the case of Great Britain, UK, or make America great again, in the case of the United States. In Argentina, they went even further. They got it down to two words, si podemos, which means yes, we can, in Spanish. So they've got it down to two words. So if I find it, I think if we were to approach a marketing company, they might suggest something like that to us. Now, what possible three words would we be using? This idea, repeating the fucking same thing, just as they do by the, I mean, this is what the political marketeers do. If you listen to Radio 4 or, well, I'm not going to tell you. So if you listen to Radio 4, and I'm sure they do it on the telly as well, they all just come with the same fucking same sentence. Might be more than three words, but it's the same bloody sentence every time, whatever the question, however the question is posed to them. I don't think we're in that game. But this is not to say we shouldn't be considering the way that we go. I think I'd be more likely to be inclined to have a look at it within the party based on the experience that Shannon and Foster have got. And then, you know, look at other sorts of look at the sort of marketing, how to do it books and stuff like that.
I think what we have to do is deal with ideas, really. You know, deal with what we stand for, really. You know, and if you look at things on Facebook, people getting thousands of hits. There's a guy called Jonathan Pye. I don't know if anybody's ever watched him. He's very amusing, and he tackles subjects. You know. He talks about one subject and he explores it, you know, like about Brexit or whatever or anything like that. And he's very good, really, you know, and he gets thousands of hits. I think we could do something like that and have a subject that we talk about, really, you know, and put the socialist case on that particular subject. But it's like Steve says, we can't just have a three-word slogan because that would be difficult.
Well, before you run away with this idea that all marketing reduces to three-word slogans, I just remind you of if anybody's seen the series Yes Minister from the 1980s. If you haven't seen it, you really are missing a treat. There's a point where the Prime Minister is going to deliver a party political broadcast, and so the director says, and he says to the director, what should I wear? So the director says, well, it all rather depends what you're going to say, Prime Minister. If you're going to, are you going to put a message that is controversial and far reaching? Or are you going to say the same old rubbish that every other party political broadcast says? So is it just going to be a lot of words that don't mean anything? If it's going to be far-reaching and controversial, I suggest a sober background, perhaps an armchair next to a shelf full of books to reassure to present a reassuring and stable view. If it's just going to be the same verbiage where you don't say anything, I suggest a very lively background and a sharp suit and Stravinsky for the music. And, of course, the Prime Minister ends up with the lively background and the sharp suit and the Stravinsky because, of course, he isn't going to say anything really. It was a very good sketch because it gets to the heart of how marketing is about marketing what you've got to say. Now, we've got some really important things to say. It's not the sort of thing that you can reduce to three-word slogans, and no marketing company worth their salt would ever suggest that to us. And even if they did, we would say, no thanks, we're not interested. So the idea of asking a marketing company is to see if they've got any ideas that we think are really good and that we wouldn't have thought of. And if they just come up with slogans, we'll just say, no. We're not interested.
We're not interested. It sends you bill.
well, that's the thing, isn't it? We don't know. I mean, we've never done it. We've never done it. Yeah, we've never asked. You know, they might not be able to do it. It might be like these advertising agencies that, you know, I was talking about when they were asked to sell homosexuality. They just said, no, we can't sell that, and they walked away. If you can't sell, if you can't sell socialism, I don't think you deserve to be in business as an advertising agency. Sorry, Mike.
I disagree with you there, Paddy. You know, if I can just put in there, you know, socialism is not a commodity. You know, it's not for sale. We can make a pitch, yes, but we're not there to sell it.
Just before I know Mike was going to speak. Well, this just has come back to this question, isn't it? Is propaganda, however we think of that term, is it different from marketing or is it essentially the same? I tend to think that we are selling something in a way, because we are asking people to, take on an idea, a huge idea, the biggest idea they will have ever had in their entire lives. And I think it is a process of selling that. I don't think it is radically different, but that was the point of this debate, this FAQ tonight, you know, to see if people don't agree with that, which, you know, you're saying you don't.
There's a difference between projected money and selling. We project the case, right? You know, and it's up to the person that the case impacts on, right? What they make of it, etc. But you know, it's impossible to sell socialism because it is not a commodity.
Well, I think that's a bit of semantic splitting hairs, to be honest, Brian.
It is a subtle difference, isn't it? I mean, I don't know, maybe Shannon and Foster should get together and form their own marketing company. It's got a ring to it, hasn't it, Shannon and Foster?
I'd insist on Foster and Shannon.
I was about to say that's our first boardroom feud.
I'd book them as a music hall act.
My sort of two Pennethworth is that we're sort of promoting two slightly different things. We're not just promoting, you know, the idea of socialism, you know, whether that's, well, that includes, you know, an analysis of capitalism and an alternative for a new society. You know, that's one thing that we're promoting. But of course, we're also promoting the Socialist Party as an organization which, you know, sort of nurtures that idea. So, you know, any marketing would have to be aware of those two different angles. And of course, by selling, if you like, a terrible word, but promoting the Socialist Party, we're sort of promoting the culture, you know, the way things are done, which is, you know, more than the sort of procedures on paper. It's something that takes up a lot of our sort of time and emotional energy. So, you know, we're also selling that aspect of the Socialist Party, as well as the, you know, the sort of the pure sort of economic arguments as well. So, yeah, I think a marketing company would have to take that into account, and I think that would sort of guide whatever the emphasis they would suggest would be.
That's a really good point, actually, Mike, because you know, well, they do say, don't they, in sales, that the buyer buys the salesman before they buy the product. And I think there's a sort of deep truth in that if workers don't buy us as an organization, they're not going to buy the case. Which presents problems, of course. I mean, in a previous FAQ, we had a discussion about how the how we could make the party seem friendlier, you know, more sociable, you know, more kind of like, this is something you get involved in because it's fun. It's not just sort of tedious committee work and stuff. It can be fun. We do social things. You know, this is all part of what Mike's saying, I think, and this is what would be part of the kind of presentation package, I suppose you call it.
Now that would be a hard sell.
Well, I don't know. I think we've got lots of points in our favour. You know, the democracy, the equality. You know, the lack of hierarchies is a big reason why I'm still a member. So yeah, I know in practice that all of that doesn't, you know, quite translate the way we'd prefer a lot of the time. But you know, we've got lots of positives as an organisation, even if we don't always make the most of them.
Anybody else who hasn't said anything? A few people are being quiet.
Jacqueline would like to say, Can you hear me?
We can do, yeah. We can, Jacqueline.
Well, great talk. I've enjoyed it. Got a bit lost through part of it. Wasn't quite sure what was going on. But the advertising, getting advertising people in, we did do that for our election video, if people remember that one. But for advertisers to come in, and this has probably been said, they've got to know about socialism, the way that we, the SBGB, part of the World Socialist Movement, define it. So surely we are the experts when it comes to any of the advertising. I hate saying that because some of the stuff that the capitalists put out is pretty good.
I don't think it's, I mean, we at the moment on the standard, we've got we're hiring in a professional graphic designer to help out our member who's having to do the work. And but the graphic designer, she's not a party member, but she does know the party case, or she's reasonably familiar with it, I understand.
Well, this is what we need, people who know what we're talking about.
But what
because
I'm,
the working class aren't interested. They
yeah.
don't give a shit.
No, but what I'm saying is that even though she's a professional graphic designer, it wasn't that difficult for her to get a handle on the party case. I mean, I think that she's got a friend who's in the party or a relative or something. But, you know, it's not that difficult to get a decent idea of the party case. I mean, people always used to say that, you know, the rules of socialism are easier than the rules of football. If you can understand football, you can understand socialism. So,
Paddy, I'm going to disagree with you. As someone who's leafleted door to door for years, as someone who's stood in an election a couple of times, as someone who's done public speaking, not always to my best, and always engaging with the working class, they really don't care, believe me. No matter what you do, what you try, it seems to just disappear into thin air. And I do hate saying this.
Yeah, sure. Oh, no, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, if we were to approach an advertising agency, they would say, well, first of all, explain what it is that you want us to, you know, advertise. So then we would have to explain the case, and they would want to learn because, you know, it's a contract to them. And, you know, advertising agency can sell any kind of, all right, I'm not going to use the word commodity, Brian, but they can sell any type of, let's say, entity, let's put it that way. And even quite complex things, you know, when advertising agencies sell cars, aeroplanes, ships, complex scientific processes. Do you see what I mean?
I understand all that. I understand all that. I mean, I'm happy to go with an advertising agency if they're any good.
I mean, what we would do is get consultations with them and say, this is the proposal. Do you think that you could do this? And I imagine if they didn't think they could do it, they wouldn't take the contract. So, you know,
against their interests.
I don't think they're that clever, Jacqueline.
Don't be too sure. They've done damn well so far. 300 years of shite.
But it's their making money, aren't they? They're not worried about the other boys. It, you know, capitalism, they all fight against amongst themselves anyway.
That is true. That is very true. I don't know. I think we've tried everything already, haven't we?
Well, we did not this, though. I think we haven't tried this.
Yeah, I don't think we've tried this either.
Oh, no, this has been really good, but really useful for me. Like Joelle, I feel I've felt isolated, so it's been really good, whether I agree or not. It's nice to...
I mean, marketing is obviously... one facet we obviously trying to or want to use. I mean, unfortunately, we've not had a presence on radio, have we, as well, or television? I mean, using the YouTube is also a good option. But obviously, we've got to try as many ways possible to sort of get socialism across to our people
and advertising companies. don't just sell commodities. They sell ideas. Look at the pandemic. Stay home, save lives. I've never seen such explicit and heavy advertising. That is advertising. That is, you can change people's behavior through advertising. It's a powerful, powerful medium.
So is communication.
Okay, so where we've got to is that there seems to be a kind of general consensus, more or less, that what we're doing isn't, it's not fundamentally different from marketing, even though what we've got's not a commodity, as Brian says. And some sympathy for the idea of hiring in an advertising agency. Some people have spoken. Most people haven't said anything on that subject, so not sure if that means that they agree or what. Maybe this is something that, you know, perhaps it would be a good idea to discuss at ADM in that case.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, but no good getting people to write in or and out of the product we're going to give them, information, is out of date. We need to have a look about where you're getting in people who contact us and what we actually provide for them. And, yeah, I don't think I would join the party if I was didn't know about it and got the stuff that you would get from head office, not just the standard, but the companies and stuff. It was very good in the 1960s when I joined, 67, I think it was. That was, yeah, you had to gain information, but we would need sort of better ways of. I would like to see a comic book, like something like the Illustrated Life of Rosa Luxemburg has come out. Gives you really easy to read, really easy to watch, but you get a lot of information there. That's an easier way than what we've got. We've got abstract ideas to put into practice, and it's not so easy to illustrate those.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. What you say, Mike, is that the first thing that an advertising agency would say to us is, well, what is the stuff that you're sending out to people? And I wonder if in this sense we're still trying to behave like a bigger party with more people. We're trying to put out a whole range of pamphlets that we just can't keep up with because we can't keep updating them. So at the moment, our pamphlet stock is all quite out of date. We just don't really, I think we don't really have the people to keep updating all this range of stuff. And that maybe it would be better if we just focused on one pamphlet that just basically put the party case and that we could focus on and let a lot of our old stock just kind of, well, you know, be archived. Maybe we should just cut our coat according to our cloth, as it were, and make sure that we have a smaller but more up-to-date sort of stock of stuff.
But good idea to discuss it at ADM, yeah.
To hear the cartoon book to put across the ideas, what we're about, the process.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It'd be an original way of getting the idea across if we could only find someone able to put it together.
True. Sounds like you, Mike.
I wish.
Yeah, I think it's quite difficult, though, isn't it, to conceptualise the party case in visual images, which you'd need to do. I mean, I don't know if anybody else has read the sort of cartoon book on Marx. Well, I think I've got it somewhere. It's supposed to be a kind of cartoon idiot's guide to Marx kind of thing. And all it is, it's just some bearded blokes and huge talking bubbles, you know, huge wadges of text in speech bubbles. It really doesn't work at all.
Paddy, I've got a copy on my bookshelf. I'm looking at it right now where I'm sitting. And that is how I learned.
Sorry, Jacqueline.
Sure you of that.
Sorry, Jacqueline, you were breaking up really badly there. We didn't really catch what you said.
I learnt my marks from my cartoon copy recommended by the SPGB librarian, Roy Beat, from the cartoon book. Marvellous. Did you get that?
I did, yeah. I don't know if it's the same one I saw. Maybe we had two different opinions of it then.
Thank you for a lovely, lovely evening. Lovely talking to comrades, socialists. It's been an absolute pleasure. Recently out of hospital, I'm going to leave you shortly. Carla, thank you for your help previously for getting into this meeting. Thank you.
Pleasure, Jacqueline. See you soon.
Yeah, cheers, Jacqueline.
Yep, take care. Look after yourself. Good to hear from you.
Bye, Jacqueline.
Bye, all of you. We'll get there in the end.
Just to come back on something you said, Paddy, about the range that we've got, range of stuff that we've got available for publication. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to have a damn good review of what we've got. And as you say, probably archive. I mean, obviously, still keep it available, but not as a front line on the website, because you just thinking, for example, about the environment pamphlet. I think that's so far out of date that it's a bit of an embarrassment to have that as a right on the front of our website. So yeah, I think that should be something that we talk about to ABM as well, most definitely. But whilst before people start disappearing, Alan and I think somebody else. Oh, Alan, thing by Comrade Ball. I think if it's, I mean, I don't remember reading any of this stuff, but if it's as important as you say, that should become we ought to be publishing that if it is as important as you say. So for goodness sake, please keep pushing that idea.
Didn't the EEC, Mike Foster, do you remember this? Didn't the EEC decide to do a reprint of that, of the Heather Ball pamphlet? Not really.
I'm fairly sure we did.
I thought we did, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why it didn't get referred on. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm fairly sure we did. And then, yeah, nothing further happened. It sort of got overtaken by new things coming up. But yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it got overtaken when the publications committee changed personnel. Because I think last year there was... it was agreed last year, but then one of the members didn't like it. They since left the party. But it's still there. It's still there to be reprinted. We just have to get somebody to get a quote and get it printed.
Yeah, if I can just come back on the Heather Ball thing. I mean, we asked several times. We absolutely heard nothing. We're no longer on the publications committee, but when we were, we absolutely heard nothing. I mean, I know... It could be quite a struggle to get things through because, and I'm pleased to understand, I'm not being critical here. I'm trying to illustrate a point that the EC seemed to micromanage the publications committee at every stage, and it was extremely difficult to get stuff through. We managed to get, I think, about six pamphlets out in the first year, which was almost 100. Well, it was not quite 100%. There'd been one in the previous year, and I noticed that there's been none subsequently. You know, the publications committee. Yes, it's a subcommittee of the EC. We understand that, and ultimately, the end product needs to be approved by the EC, but the publications committee, whoever is on it now, and I don't know, needs to be allowed to get on with the job. And the end product needs to be looked at by the EC, but you know, part of the problem, for example, was that we would come up with stuff, it would be agreed, and then they would object. It was so frustrating, I can't tell you. you know, we had to try and get the EC to agree that once they accepted that a project should go ahead in terms of a pamphlet, that yes, okay, they would have the ultimate say, but they had to let it go ahead and deal with the end product. And if changes had to be made or there were things that needed to be altered, then it would be dealt with at the end, but not, you know, not the constant micromanaging is the best way of describing it. That was a real challenge.
I made a note to put that down for an item of business for the next EC. I don't know who's on publications at the moment because I can't get print out. But I will put that.
Thank you for that, because, you know, having been on the publications committee, you know, I can say that, you know, having just these points, we tried desperately hard. We managed quite a lot, given the constraints that were placed in our path. But, you know, for God's sake, give the publications committee some freedom. Of course, the end product must be dealt, you know, must be approved. I understand that. And it must meet the part, you know, publications are different from, for example, the Socialist Standard, but, you know, so we need to make sure it's right, but that can be dealt with at the end. But once a decision is made to go ahead with the project, it needs to go ahead. Commissioning writers was extremely difficult. Getting writers to do stuff, you know, editing and altering and changing, was a real challenge, and the publications committee needs all the support it can get, but not micromanaging.
Hi, Alan. I was on the committee when all that was going on, and I have to agree with you. There was a lot of micromanaging, but I have to say that as far as I know, the EC has changed. I mean, there are different comrades now on the EC, and I think that it would probably be a bit different now. That's all I can say.
It's great to hear that, Carla. I mean, it really is.
And I was on the EC at the time as well. And I think, you know, your efforts always, you know, certainly appreciated. And I hope it wasn't sort of taken too personally. I think, you know, sort of bureaucratic inertia is part of the excuse. I don't know, but as Carla says, different EC. Line up now, I think it was always appreciated that a lot of work went into the publications proposed at the time, and there were some good outcomes, even if you know it wasn't enough or wasn't always done in the right way. But I hope you didn't take it too personally.
It was never personal while we were online. Once offline, if you like, it was very personal. We'd have some right shouting matches, but there you go.
Paddy, I've got to go, but I'd just like to say thank you very much for organising this. We've had about 58 contributions from 15 members tonight, and quite an interesting discussion. But if you're having another one on Monday, it's not yet on the events and event calendar on Discord. You said something about Facebook meeting or something. It might be an idea to put that on. But good luck to you all, and nice to hear from you all. But I've got to go now. Good luck.
All right. Cheers, Mike.
Bye.
Well, I don't know. Steve, do you think we should put it on the video thing on the events calendar? It's not an event as such. It's more of a kind of discussion, isn't it? So.
Well, I've written to everybody. So, It's on the announcements, but I've not been on the events.
Mm.
I forgot that.
I've received your invite today.
Oh, I didn't invite you, did I? Oh.
Well, I've got to speak to the agent first.
Right.
Okay, do people feel that we've kind of... reached a natural conclusion with this question? I think we've sort of... There seems to be some sympathy for discussing this at ADM anyway, so we won't be putting this to bed.
Yeah, it's certainly worth discussing. It's important.
Yes, yeah, so thanks for bringing it up, Paddy. Yeah, an interesting discussion. Yeah, far more interesting than I anticipated. Good.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I knew it would be good.
Marketing, my God. But it's thank you for doing it.
And if you can put it out to ADM, for me, the more people who can be involved in it, in this discussion, the better. Just spread it as wide as possible. That would be great.
Thanks, Paddy.
Okay.
Can Jacqueline just say thank you all at the Socialist Standard Department Committee for actually putting the Discord talks out on the back page? I found that is so useful, and it's really quite enjoyable to read. Communication. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah, thank you.
I heard it as well.
Can you? Good. Well done.
Okay, well, I think it looks like we've kind of we've reached a natural end to the discussion, have we? So we may as well adjourn.